So our gospel lesson this morning takes off from the end of the time that Jesus was in the synagogue. He opened up the scriptures, the scroll that was handed to him and read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Those were the words that he said when he gave back the scroll and said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And at that time, they were all excited, those people in the synagogue who were joined there with him, that he was talking. They felt he was talking about them. And then he goes on to speak to them about the widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when there was that severe famine, and the only one that Elijah went to was to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon, and she was not a Jew, she was not a Hebrew, and he brought her food, and he brought her healing. And then to Elisha, who, with all the lepers, the only leper that was healed was a Syrian by the name of Naaman. So now what that congregation is hearing is that God is going to those who are on the edge, the fringe, and not giving us these blessings. And they were pretty angry with Joseph's son. Angry so much that they were going to stone him to death. Because the way they used to stone people to death is they would rush them off the cliff. So if they didn't die by the fall, they threw boulders on top of them to make sure that they died. That's what his hometown was ready to do to Jesus. And the scripture tells us that he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. So you may wonder, do I really want to be called by the Lord to proclaim the message of salvation to the world? If even in Jesus' hometown, they were ready to stone him to death? Do I want to be like Jeremiah and say, "Hey, I'm just a boy," or "I'm just a girl, I don't really have the words to speak"? Or to be like Moses and say, "I'm not the one you want to call"? Almost every call story has the one who is called to feel a little bit hesitant about stepping into this call by God. And they have a right to be afraid, because God is going to send us where, as he tells Jeremiah, he's going to send us where he needs to send us so that the word can be given to the people God wants the word given to. If we think even of Jonah, Jonah was a prophet who had to go to Nineveh. The reason Jonah ran so far away from that call is he knew that when he gave a call to people he hated and wanted to see God's wrath destroy the whole nation, that's what Jonah wanted. But he knew if he went and proclaimed repentance, that they could repent. And if they repented, God would spare their lives. And eventually, he did what God called them to do, and the people of Nineveh and all the animals went down in dust and ashes and repented. It seems that sometimes the work of God happens on those edges, on those fringes. And we have to wonder, where are we being called? Where, not who. Where are we being called to love? Are we being called to step to those places of edges and fringes where the people might not be the ones we would invite to our dinner table at Christmas time because they're not us? So I had to think about this for a while, and maybe you need to ponder it some too, as we've been trying through our free market, and we have some other ideas of how to get to know people in the community that don't sit in our pews. If Jesus calls us to love, as we read, the greatest of these is love. If Jesus calls us to love as Jesus loved, he even loved those who were on the right side and the left side of him on the cross, even though one got redeemed and one did not. He even said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they did when they hung him on the cross. Jesus came for the salvation of all. And why we need to look to the edges, to the fringes, even maybe even the edges and the fringes of our own family, families that are caught in distress and broken apart. But we also have to look within, because I thought about the synagogue and the people of Nazareth who wanted to stone Jesus to death. And I wondered, was Jesus called to love them as well? That even after he passed through them so his life could be saved and he could do the work that he was called to do, where he was called to do it, where he would be received so that the Holy Spirit could come upon people and salvation could happen there, he was also called to love them. And I know in these times, in the pandemic, we have so desired to have church like church looked, to have our pews filled as they were filled, to have our choir back in the choir loft, to have everything as it was, so that we can feel somehow that God is in our midst and things are right in the world. But what if it's the change that's right in the world? What if, as we move forward from this place and forward from this moment, we are simply being called to love as Christ has called us to love and to worship together, either in this space or with those who are joining us on Facebook Live? I love to look at the comments and see where they're from and know that somehow God is touching their life because they are here with us. You can't see them. I see a red dot, but they are with us. And there are people who need to know that they are part of a community, to know that they are loved. And we may be called to places we don't want to go. I was thinking of places that I did not want to go. I certainly didn't want to go to Vance County. I was enjoying the coast in New Bern and Beaufort and all of those places. And God said, no, you're going to Vance County. And guess what happened? I came to love the people of Vance County. The ones in the pews, the ones on the fringes, the ones in the shelter, the ones who drive me crazy sometimes, and I probably drive them crazy sometimes too. I'll admit, I can drive people crazy. Just ask Leo. But just ask my sister and brother, who are probably making comments now about how crazy I drive them. But the reality is, our pews are empty. The reality is, we don't have a choir. But there's an opportunity for us to still make connections with people we might not have made connections with before, because they might have thought they weren't worthy to enter into our place because they didn't act like us. They didn't talk like us. They didn't eat like us. Well, I still don't eat like a Southerner, and you guys know that. But hopefully you still love me. Anyway, what Jesus is calling us to do, what the prophets are calling us to do, is to love those who think they're unloved. You know, he went for the one and left the 99, and everyone kind of goes, well, why did he leave them behind? They knew they were loved. The one out there that was lost didn't know it. And sometimes we have people who are lost and are afraid to come in because they think when they enter here, they will be snubbed because they're not one of us. We were never always one of us, were we? At some point, we had to come into a new environment, whether it was a new school, whether it was a new home. Some of you, I know, have been in your house. I don't have that experience of being in the home that my parents and grandparents and great-grandparents have been in. But new people have come into your community. Do you know who they are? We're called to go where we need to be to share God's love with those who feel so lost and afraid. I talk often about Leo Wesley Roy. He was often one of those who was alone at the lunch table. He was often one that was seen as a little bit different, a little bit weird. I don't think he expected to go to South Carolina, but he has gone. He went, he pulled up all of his belongings, not knowing a soul in Cottageville, South Carolina, not having any anchors to hold on to in South Carolina, other than his parents way up north in Kittrell, North Carolina. And yet he went where God sent him, and he's doing the work God has called him to do. So sometimes we have to travel far distances to be able to discover the gifts and graces that we've talked about, all those gifts, but the greatest of these is love. Sometimes God takes us out of our hometown environment to love as God calls us to love. But many of us stay in our hometown, don't we? And when we stay in our hometown, do we fall out of love with the people around us? Maybe it is time to repent and turn to the ones that we've fallen out of love with. It not necessarily means that you make a brand new relationship that caused you harm, but you repent of whatever the emotions are in your heart that keep you apart. Because unforgiveness doesn't hurt anyone but you. I don't know where each of us will be called to love, but the scriptures are pretty plain. God's going to send us where we need to be. We can be a little bit reluctant, but we can still go. And we may be chased out of town because of the words that we share. But the time right now is to share God's love. Because right now, what's overruling everybody is fear, hate, distrust, and a whole lot of anger. And what if we respond instead with love? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.